I'm Adam.
And I'm Meg.
And we're going to watch Breaking Bad.
In reverse.
Breaking backwards? Hi, everybody. Welcome to the podcast.
This is our podcast, and we are glad you are joining us.
Thanks for listening.
To the listener. Podcast.
To the podcast, Breaking Backwards Coast to Coast is what we're called, we just listened to, or we didn't listen to it, we fucking watched it.
But we also, as a part of watching it, listened.
That's true, just listening to something does not imply non-watching, so I take your point. But it was an episode called Shotgun.
Yes.
Breaking Bad, and it was pretty good. I like Shotgun.
I like Shotgun just fine. It starts off, well, we won't get into that so quickly.
Yeah, that's true.
I was almost about to dive headfirst into a cold open, but I jumped the gun there, I think.
With those bare arms, you need a jacket.
Oh, yes, because it's so cold. But also, I think we're supposed to take a little sojourn over here.
Oh, we should maybe step into the... Oh, wow, Meg, this Panther Dome is so spacious. What's that little area right over there? Is that the...
Sad Panther Dome. Sad Panther Dome. Sad Panther Dome. Sad Panther Dome.
Okay, ooh, wow, this is somber in here.
It's the energy's really a lot heavier than a normal Panther Dome.
Well, yeah, so you might be wondering why we're in the Sad Panther Dome, because the man himself who created the Panther Dome theme song, Eddie Van Halen, passed away this week, Meg.
I think I heard something about that.
Yeah.
I have a couple older brothers, so I definitely heard something about that.
I like Van Halen just fine. And most importantly, and this is the most important thing, we don't know that he didn't listen to our podcast.
That's true. There's really going to be no way for us to confirm that he did or didn't, so we must assume that he was an avid fan, right?
I don't know what I legitimately, and I'm actually kind of interested in what they would do with your smartphone when you die, your family. but if, hey, Van Halen Estate, if you want to peek at his downloads and confirm or deny if he listens to this podcast, we're going to go up for the assumption that he did. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we wanted to, it's sad that he's dead. He seemed like a cool dude.
He seemed like a fucking god. I don't know how else to put it.
I think he either invented or popularized that thing in an electric guitar where you put both hands on the fret and go like.
I also heard he came up with oral sex.
That's the other thing, is he did the thing that we love the most a lot, which is coming.
Yeah, he probably came constantly, I think.
He came, and then he left. he got married in, I think, 1981, and then divorced in 2007. And so I'm assuming all those years before 1981, just coming constantly, and then probably a lot while he was married, and then he got married again in 2009, presumably between 2007 and 2009. It was just a fuck fest in Van Halen's life. Yeah.
Yeah.
He made the song Panama, which we both like.
We like the song Panama a whole lot, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Jump, it's another one.
Oh, that's a great one, yeah.
He made, oh god. I think I can only name those two Van Halen songs.
I agree with you, I think I can only name those two Van Halen songs. And sometimes I get that version of Jump and then the version of Jump with the Pointer Sisters confused, and I mix them up in my head and it sounds crazy.
The Pointer Sisters, what is that?
It would imagine a song that one might do aerobics to, and then that's that song.
Okay, cool. but yeah, he died, apparently he had a very long battle with cancer that he
kept quiet.
Succumbed to, which is a bummer.
I had no idea that he was sick. And
I didn't either.
That's very sad.
It's weird watching old rock stars, because over the last few days, I've just seen photos of him, like recent photos of him playing guitar. And it's just weird because he has just short gray hair and he looks like a fucking dad. he looks like I'd be like, Dad, put the guitar away. No one wants to hear this. But then he probably fucking shredded and sprinkled cum all over the audience.
And they probably lapped it up. I think about how, for a man who was sick, the last photos I saw of him, and maybe this is just how it is, he still seemed pretty in shape. He's like, for being in his 60s, he looked pretty good still, you know?
Yeah. He looks like he could do pull-ups unassisted, which is saying something.
Yeah, because I can only do a couple pull-ups unassisted, and I'm much smaller than he is, and he probably could do it. Yeah.
I can do a handful, but that is about it.
Mm-hmm.
Not much. So, I don't know. Van Halen, we're going to miss your downloads, most of all, but also your music.
Yeah, I mean, we'll definitely miss the music, and I mean, the downloads also, but mostly the music, right?
Yeah. The downloads helped. That's actually frustrating to lose that.
Yeah.
So if you're in the Van Halen family and you want a podcast to listen to, might I suggest this one?
Yeah, it's a great one.
But we just wanted to pander to you out of respect. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Sweet Prince.
Sad Pander Dumb. Sad Pander Dumb. Sad Pander Dumb. Sad Pander Dumb.
Okay. Fun.
Okay. So now...
That was fun.
Now it's a lot less heavy in here, so that's kind of nice.
Yeah. This is I feel... Have you ever left a funeral and just... You finally got to take your dress shoes off?
Here's a funeral story for you. My daughter...
Oh, ooh, please do tell.
My daughter started walking at her grandmother's funeral. she pulled herself up and just started toddling around barefoot at a funeral. And
were you like so excited and then that was not good for the mood of the whole event?
Kind
of,
yeah. I was a little bit more like, when did this happen? Like I was more just surprised that she could walk. I was like, I haven't been encouraging this. And here, of all places, what on earth?
Then whoever was doing the eulogy was probably boring and Avery wanted to fucking leave.
That sounds like my daughter at the age of 13 months, just over it. Yeah.
Hey, just because it's a eulogy doesn't mean it's good, everyone. Some people get boring ass eulogies.
Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Will you do my eulogy when I die? Can make it a slapper? Can you make it slap?
Oh yeah.
Thank you.
It'll slap pretty hard.
Thank you, sir.
It'll be like laughs, sincere, and then misty-eyed. Big laugh, one last sincere thing, and then we're out.
There will be cum jokes?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Absolutely. And then, that's just the journey a eulogy should take.
Yeah, that's just the natural order of things, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so now that we got that sad business out of the way, and that important legally binding business out of the way, because now you are obligated by law to give my eulogy, should we step into... No, should we get our coats on?
Yeah, let's get our coats
on. Okay, we're going to get our coats on.
I'm going to get our coats on really quick. Okay,
here we go.
And they are zip.
Button.
And
button,
we're in a... Okay, button, pockets, keys, wallet, phone. Great, okay. We are in an opening that is cold.
Yes, it's pretty chilly in here. And we are watching Walt weave in and out of traffic from the perspective of the car as he frantically is... yelling on the phone.
Yep. To Saul, who we do not see in this episode.
Yes, so that right off the bat, we know we're going to be pretty frustrated this episode since we can't get that release. But
I felt cucked.
Oh, that's a...
Because we didn't get it.
I mean, like, but did you enjoy feeling cucked? Because usually when somebody, feeling cucked, it's something they want, right?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't enjoy it during it, but then, like, looking back on it, I was like, I want more. I want more of that.
Yeah,
I want more of that right now.
That's fair. Okay, so he's on the phone to Walt. He's trying to get a, or he's on the phone to Saul, I mean to say, and he's trying to get a mm-hmm. hold of Jesse, right? Mm-hmm. And he just can't, and he seems like he's in a rush. I don't know if he thinks he's being chased or if he thinks that, like, time is of the essence here.
Yeah, he knows Jesse's missing. He doesn't know why. Mm. He's clearly, I mean, just without saying stuff, let me think, best way to describe it is, yeah, he just knows Jesse's not where Jesse should be, and this is clearly before the Jesse and Mike buddy bud that we see kind of play out later on, so this is kind of new ground for them.
Yeah.
And he's like, what is going on? My partner's not here.
I guess maybe he thinks that he's next as well, because he goes straight to... oh, wait, no, I'm getting ahead of myself, but he...
Oh, yeah, he leaves the voicemail.
He leaves the voicemail, and it's the same voicemail we heard at the beginning of the last episode, which is, you know, he tells Skylar how much he loves her and the kids. And then, you know, that, I think I even said to you, seems like it might be the last sincere moment of Walter White in the series going the correct way.
Yeah, the only other one I can think of is at the very end when he's, like, visiting Skylar and it's like, I did it for me. I wanted it. I was good at it. And then he touches a baby on the face.
Yes. I guess the only other moment of note that we can both genuinely say is Walt that is most sincere is when he's talking about the different gems and crystals he had at Geo's.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
that was wonderful.
Yeah. So those were the last moments of not being a manipulative prick that I can point out towards the end of his life. Yeah.
And I'd like to point out, like, well, because I don't know if he has any, like, drugs on him, but this is not the first time we've seen him drive like this and weave in and out of traffic and do wild shit with the car.
Yeah.
Like, one speeding ticket could, like, turn his life around, like, in a bad way.
Yeah.
And I always think about that. And I'll put, yeah, it's just, I don't know.
Well, we know he definitely has a gun on him. And who knows if that gun
he has a firearm. Fuck, I totally forgot. Yeah, he could have. That would just fuck him.
Yeah, it would just be donezo. But it seems like he likes to take measured risk in an insane way sometimes. You know, it seems like he's so calculated about so many things, but then other times he just is very reckless.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So then, I think that's the end of the cold open?
Yeah, literally, I think it's just, it cuts to the gas pedal, and he pedals to the metal.
Mm.
Which was sick. And then it just shows him, like, zipping around.
We like it when the boys do things with the cars, you know?
Yeah. I like the most extreme version of anything. And so that is the most extreme version of driving a car?
Yes.
Specifically, the most extreme version of driving a Pontiac Aztec?
Yes.
So, you know, enjoyed it.
So then we've got Walter stomping his way into a Pollo Hermanos, Los Pollos Hermanos.
You nailed it.
There we go.
You crushed it. What? Shit. Can I use Google Translate? Because I don't understand. You're speaking Spanish, girl.
That's so exciting for me. I'm
look at you.
So bad with languages.
In Los Angeles, you can talk to everybody now. Not just half the people there.
I wanted to sidetrack, say that on Postmates and DoorDash, on Postmates and DoorDash, there is a Los Pollos Hermanos you can order the chicken from, and they have, like, stuff. And I've been afraid to do it because I thought maybe there'd be spoilers, but I'm told that it's very, very good.
Is it the Breaking Bad pop-up that they had on, I forget the street, but it's the street I used to live on?
It is not the Breaking Bad pop-up. It is a different thing. It is a different Breaking Bad, you know, venture. Okay. Isn't that bizarre?
Do you know where they had, like, the Saved by the Bell pop-up? Do you remember that?
Yes, I do. That was on Santa Monica Boulevard.
Yeah, that's where I forgot it was called Santa Monica. Yeah, they had a Breaking Bad pop-up there, and I think they just had a lot of, like, rock candy that was blue for obvious reasons, and then, it like, chicken.
I don't know that it ever super opened, because I remember taking a picture of the storefront and sending it to you, and you were like, spoilers, don't look at that store, I think, because it had Heisenberg on the front. But like, it might have been called, like, the Heisenberg Cafe or something like that. I don't know. Anyhow,
did COVID stop it?
I think yes. I think COVID did stop it, because it was, like, immediately before you and I started everything. It's bizarre. Anyways, so He goes into the Los Pollos Hermanos and he yells at a woman and he said, "Give me Gus Fring, goddammit." Mm-hmm. And they say he's not here.
He has a gun in his pocket. He does not own a holster.
True.
And it's a little piece of shit wiener gun, I think. I think it makes him look like a little wiener.
Yeah, it's just a little revolver with that looks like it's had its tip cut off.
I was like, oh, did you get that out of your copy of Clue?
That's fun.
That was a fun joke by Adam.
Yes, it was a good burn on that guy's stupid fucking gun. And the lady behind the counter is like, please stop being so mean to me. And he goes, I'm going to go sit down. You go get that guy. And then he starts to get really paranoid.
I have interesting thoughts on this lady that we will talk about at a later time.
Her again? She's not reoccurring? Or she's not?
She is recurring, but I still want to talk about her for reasons that'll become clear later.
In a different episode or in this episode?
In a different episode.
Okay.
No. I want to talk about her on this episode of Breaking Backwards, but she will come up on different episodes of Breaking Bad, but I still want to talk about her.
Okay.
Does that make sense? Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, I didn't need to shoehorn that in.
So then Walt gets kind of paranoid because he sees people kind of staring at him, and then other people, I guess he assumes are Gus's flackies kind of coming in and out. And then he gets a phone call from Mike. And Mike is
Michael.
Walter, what the hell are you doing? Was that a good one? Did it do okay?
Yeah, that was I freaked out.
I saw you lose your shit just then.
I freaked out because I was like, Michael or Jonathan Banks? Is that you?
I kissed him, good. And now
that's,
I can
that's
do
the
an
actor
impression.
Who plays Mike. I don't know if you've ever talked about that.
Yeah, I knew who Jonathan Banks was.
Oh, fuck, the internet.
Yeah. I've heard a lot about, you know, I feel like Jonathan Banks and Giancarlo, is that his name?
Giancarlo Esposito.
I feel like in Hollyweird, as you would say, those two actors having the career renaissance that they did due to this show is what a lot of, my friends who are working actors are kind of hoping happens for them, and they're kind of like the all-stars of the working actors world. So you can't not hear about Jonathan Banks or Giancarlo. You know, just how it is.
Jonathan Banks has been in every sitcom you've seen,
guest star though, not as a reoccurring.
Yeah, not as a main thing. Same with Bryan Cranston, frankly.
Yes.
Before Malcolm in the Middle.
Yeah.
He was he was in Seinfeld as the dentist, and also just. He was a guy who just showed up and shit.
Well, he was pretty hot in Seinfeld. Let's not play. He was a good-looking guy in Seinfeld.
I actually haven't seen that much of it. I never really got that into Seinfeld. I know I need to.
Especially
as a New Yorker.
You will not ever hear me say that you need to get into Seinfeld.
No, but our listeners who are really toxic will text me and tweet me and send me mean thing.
How did we get
about how I need to watch Seinfeld?
Only fucking men's right activists for listeners? How does this, what's the
very
crossover?
Frustrating that I said one thing bad about QAnon, and I will not stop hearing about it from our listeners. You guys, I'm sorry. I want your downloads, trust me, but I don't buy what you're selling.
That's fair. When Mike talks to Walt on the phone, Walt is like, "Hey, where's Jesse?" And he's like, "He's here." And then he talks on the phone to Jesse, and Jesse's like, "I don't fucking know. Everything's cool. Chill out.
I'm in a car. What do you want from me?"
Yeah.
That's the impression I used to do, right? No, it was different.
It was a little bit more.
I'm in a car. Was it like that?
That's pretty close, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's what he says.
Yeah, we're heading north. Maybe that's not anywhere close to it. What happens after that? They hang up the phone.
Sorry, the internet froze for a second. Oh. And I didn't hear you, but now we're good. After that, there's that little funny moment where Walt gets frustrated with Jesse, goes, "Put Mike back on." And that was cute.
It was fun to see him floundering for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, then after that, he storms into Gus's office, and Gus isn't there. It's kind of the big news there.
And the lady is like, "I told you can't come back here. Stop it. Please stop."
And then Walt's like, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? And he chest pumps her.
And then he leaves. And then we go, do we want to do just Walt's storyline or do we want to try to follow the flow of the episode?
There's not a whole lot of plot in this episode, so I guess we can just do whatever.
Okay.
Let's just follow, let's be slaves to the Wikipedia once again.
Okay, makes sense.
And just whatever direction that wants to take us, we will go.
Sounds wonderful.
And the next sentence after everything we just did was, over the course of the day, Mike drives Jesse around. So, fuck it. Yeah, let's talk about all that.
Okay, so at first, Jesse seems to think that Mike's about to fucking kill him and ditch his body in the on the side of the road in a ditch somewhere. And
yeah, and he pulls out his keys and makes them like little Wolverine claws.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Great minds, I guess.
Great minds.
And then they stop the car and get out of the car, and Mike goes to the trunk and he grabs the shovel, and you know what happens? He doesn't murder Jesse with the shovel. He goes and digs up some money.
Yeah. So was this weird for you seeing like Jesse be? You've mentioned that. You're like, why is everyone afraid of Mike? Because you have not really seen reason to be yet.
I definitely didn't understand what the problem was. I haven't. Everybody seems to be really intimidated by Mike, and I do not find him at all intimidating with his like liver splat head and his weird skin and his big nose. Like, I don't. He doesn't seem scary. So the fact that anybody has a problem with him or is frightened in his presence is surprising to me.
Yeah, over the next few, you're going to see Mike start to do some, like, cool shit, which is I'm excited for. It's fun to watch Mike do cool shit.
I mean, is it going to make me dislike him because he's so
No.
violent?
He's not going to do, like, Uma Thurman Kill Bill shit and like hop around with a samurai sword. That'd be insane. But he's a very tactical, surgical type of violent person. It's not like buckets of blood violent. It's just very precise.
Okay. So I feel like that's a spoiler, but I'm excited to see it.
You've seen him do it once, so I'm not that worried.
Is that the time with the pig?
Yeah, it's time with the pig.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that was interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, it's that a bunch.
It's a bunch of mechanical pigs.
It's a bunch of mechanical pigs. That's a spoiler. Yeah, whatever. I don't know. It's hard to not spoil this show, you guys.
So all that being said, he does not kill Jesse. He digs up some money, and he's like, let's go. Get in the car. We got a lot of ground to cover. And then we
see a bunch of fun time lapse.
Oh, yes, we do. At a bunch of different locations throughout Arizona. No, not Arizona. New Mexico.
New Mexico? What are you doing?
I don't know. You know what the problem is? My friend from Arizona is here, and I just think about Arizona a lot when she's here because I can't help it.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got it. And I know you're a huge, I was going to say John McCain fan, but like you might be because he's actually a nice guy, and also, but he's also dead, so I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, let's not unpack that.
I don't want to unpack that. Okay, never mind. You're also a huge Phoenix Suns fan.
That's true. Mm-hmm. And I vacation in Scottsdale often.
And you won't shut up about the Suns, and I never want to hear about it.
I like the Suns so much. They're so good at basketball. And
I think so.
Playing it. And the Cardinals are good at baseball. Football. Football. That's the Cardinals.
Yeah, there's a different Cardinals. There's a baseball Cardinals, but they're elsewhere, I think.
So then the Arizona team is the Astros? No, that's Houston.
No. Wait, is there an Arizona baseball team? Is this confirmed?
They have all the spring training.
Shit. Oh, God. Our very male audience is going to not like this.
Well, the... The Phoenix Fabians? The Phoenix...
Is it the Stingrays?
It's the Stingrays. Yeah, that makes...
No, there is a team called...
That makes absolute sense that the Phoenix team would be called the Stingrays.
Okay. Make fun of me. Thank you. It's the Diamondbacks. It's the Diamondbacks.
Yeah.
It's snakes. They like snakes because they are in a desert.
That makes sense. Yeah.
We nailed it.
I guess I didn't
remember when they became a baseball team.
I can't remember. I never realized that it was a snake reference when I talk about the Diamondbacks. Why didn't I thought they were talking about like mountains or something.
I mean, now you have me doubting myself.
No, I mean, I think it's probably about snakes because it's the desert, right?
Yeah, the logo looks kind of like a snake. All right, if you're a listener, tweet at us either the word snake or the word mountain and by what you think it is. We will look at it and discuss maybe next week if we get enough engagement.
Okay, so I don't know. You saw some time lapses, I think, is the plot.
Yeah, I saw some time lapses. Well, and then, yeah, and then Jesse's... then we get a fun little scene where Jesse's like, if I'm, like, your guy... Jesse's kind of being a little, like, kind of a baby.
He's being pretty pestilent here. He's mm-hmm. definitely not being a very good guy to sit in a car with for presumably 18 hours a day. Like,
yeah, he's, like, wrapping the seatbelt around his eyes. He's going, like, blah, blah, blah with his mouth. He's, like, turning on shitty radio. And Mike, he's making... He's tossing his cigarettes up in the air.
Trying to juggle stuff in the back, yeah.
Shit, you probably dealt with your... what do your kids do when they get bored on a road trip?
They fight each other?
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
They, you know, for me at least, I can... They love the Hamilton soundtrack, and so recently I drove to Arizona.
Get in line.
What? Yeah, get in line.
I listened to that whole soundtrack today.
Wow, already? What an early day. Yeah. You must have got started.
It's four here.
It's... Okay, fair. But, so like I recently drove them solo to, Arizona and back, obviously, but, we just did 1.5 times, maybe 2 times the Hamilton soundtrack and they enjoyed that. But a lot of the times if they get shitty in the car, like I've definitely had to do what Mike had to do, which is to pull over and be like, guys, stop it. This isn't okay. I need to concentrate on driving, you know?
Yeah. Mike pulls over and he's like, because Jesse's like, aren't I like your guy now? So like, shouldn't I have a gun? And then Mike pulls over and he's like, I had a guy. I don't have my guy anymore. You're not the guy. I don't like you. And he's like, meh, meh, meh.
I wonder what happened to the
more
guy.
More importantly, what's your kid's favorite song from Hamilton?
They like all the King stuff. They like all the stuff the King does.
Yeah, those are fun.
Yeah. And they like, Avery likes all of them. Brock really likes the King. And I think I like some of the songs, but some of the other songs I think are a little silly. And so I started to like the song that was like The Room Where It Happens. I started to like that one.
It's a good one. Yeah, that's in my top five for sure.
And I heard a really sad thing about the song. Maybe we shouldn't talk about the sad thing I learned about this.
No, I absolutely unpacked. What sad thing did you hear?
Do you know the backstory behind the It's Quiet Uptown song?
Yeah, his son dying in a duel?
No, when that song was being written, the creative director behind Hamilton's actual son committed suicide. And
oh, no.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and it was like that song I think he wrote or he had a big part in writing because he was like, they were kind of saying like he sold his soul to get this play and it doesn't even matter anymore. Isn't that rough? I heard that from a big Broadway actor I went on a date with. So there we go.
Wow, how'd the date go?
Bad.
Okay, good to know.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I went on a virtual date the other night and I had a cold sore. And so I just like set up a lighting rig in my room to light myself in such a way that it wasn't visible. And then she was like, it also went bad. I was like, ooh, you're boring.
And I didn't realize it was a virtual date. Now I feel less.
Yeah.
When you said it didn't last very long, I feel less like sympathetic.
Oh, yeah. I think we were both didn't like each other. And we were like, all right, well, bye.
And did you feel, so you were just like, this is good. This is good that this is done. Like,
Yep. I was very excited to not be on that phone call anymore.
That's good.
And I think, I think she was too. So that's why I don't feel bad about like bringing it up.
Yeah. I don't think this guy will ever listen to my podcast in a million years. Because when I described it to him, he went, why? And I said, because it's funny. And
I get that fucking reaction from people too. Like, oh, but like, she's ruining it for herself. And I'm like, I mean, do you, when you watch Breaking Bad, did it keep you in connection with a friend across the country and help you make engaging content. But it's ruining it for Meg. Eat a dick.
I don't understand why, as like a just an adult woman with agency, I'm like, making a choice that's like people think is ghastly. It's like I'm just watching a show backwards. I don't understand. Mm-hmm. And also,
she still enjoys it, guys.
And I can also just watch it forwards the other way, and I don't know. It just seems like a perfect thing to do. Like, it seems like comfort food sometimes. I still get excited about watching every episode, so I don't know.
I do, too.
Anytime a man has that reaction on a date when I describe my podcast, I'll just end the date right there and leave.
Okay, please
do. Yeah, that's all I need to know about a guy.
But then please ask them to rate, review, and subscribe.
Yeah, no.
Because we need the listens.
Fair.
But once they've done so, leave.
I will. I'll say, get your phone out. Let me see this. Okay. And then I'll have them go through that process and go, thank you for whatever, and then leave. Thank you for nothing. And then I'll leave.
But let's wrap up this Jesse with a little bow.
Oh, you want to do the whole storyline? That's fair. That's very fair.
Yeah, because that's what Wikipedia wants me to do.
That's fair.
Yeah. Basically, they go to one last stop. Jesse's bored. He wishes he brought his Nintendo DS and he forgot it. And because the Switch wasn't out yet.
Yeah, I know.
That's important to know.
Yeah.
And actually, was the Nintendo DS? The Nintendo DS was out. Sorry.
Yeah.
Two bandits approach the car.
Yes.
With a shotgun.
I was frightened for Jesse, but he had the quiet of mind, as we all admire in him, to put the car in reverse and try to run the man over and get the fuck out of Dodge and get the car out of there.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
And then, you know, Mike comes out and he's like, well, looks like I'm walking. Shucks. Should have known better.
Yeah, Jesse slams in reverse and, like, just drives away and kind of... For a while, you're like, those are kind of a pair of pussies who tried to rob the car because they didn't try that hard.
Yeah. Yeah, they just left when things got dicey, a little, not even that dicey. And then, you know, Jonathan Banks walks to a Mexican restaurant that looked really good. I would have liked to eat at that Mexican restaurant very badly.
I agree.
Remember,
I had Mexican food yesterday. It was really good. In Manhattan, everyone. In downtown Manhattan.
Thank you, NAFTA, I guess.
Loved it.
Was it right in the middle of Times Square? I don't know what Manhattan's.
It was actually a block away from Times Square.
Okay, but it was good Mexican food.
And all the buildings were so tall.
Was it overwhelming with your tacos and your downtown?
I was really excited. I got a picture I really wanted to take, which was me wearing an I Heart NY shirt in front of the M&M store.
Mm.
Which is a picture I've wanted to take since I moved
That's
here.
That's
great. And I got it done.
That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. That's a great shirt.
I'll probably post it on the social media soon.
What?
I'll post it on my social media soon. Shut up, okay? I'm nervous about it. What if no one likes it?
It's all about the caption.
I have drafts.
Let's see. What could I come up with? I can't come up.
It could just be hashtag local, which is fun because like it's something someone local wouldn't do.
Yeah.
That's one way. And then there's probably others. I don't know.
Is that the first and only draft you have?
Okay, so here's the thing. I have wads of crumpled up paper just all around my feet right now. They all just say hashtag local, and I'm like, oh, not this again, and I throw it away. So, yeah, that is technically the only draft I have, but I've written it a number of times.
Okay, I mean, you got to get out. It's a non-judgmental process. I think you're doing the right thing there.
Thank you.
So then Mike is at the...
Oh, we're back to the... Okay.
Yeah. Mike is at the Mexican restaurant. He's like, honk once and I'll come and meet you in the parking lot. And then Jesse pulls up in the beat up Oldsmobile and is like, yo, dude, there was these bad guys and they were going to do it, but I saved it. And he's like, I saw. And he's like, okay, cool. So that was that. And then I can't remember how Gus and he... meet again
later on at the restaurant. Gus is taking out some garbage,
yes,
and he gets in a car with Mike. And I was telling you, then we kind of learned that this was a setup to make Jesse feel valued,
yes.
And I was like, if this was written on purpose to be viewed in this way, this is actually how they would have done,
yeah,
it. Because we hear about this event a lot, but we have never heard before that it was like a plan of Gus's.
But we do get the sense that Walter is suspicious of it because he, you know, casts aspersions to the, like, he raises doubts in the next episode. Or the episode.
Yeah, but that's kind of fun because you're like, oh, Walter's just a fucking tool. And then they're like, oh, Walter was right.
Yeah. For once, Walter's right. He's not just being jealous or whatever.
Because if this was written in a certain way, the way you would do it is you would keep referring to events for a long time. So you had those events in your head and then you'd see it, but something would happen. Then you'd be like, oh, that changes the way that people were talking about it in your head.
Yeah.
That's how you would do it.
Yeah, that's exactly what you would do. But now instead, they did it this way and I still just get to enjoy it as though they planned it out that way. So maybe I'm not ruining everything for myself, general public.
Proud Boys. Stop listening. Well, don't stop listening to our podcast, but stop espousing those views.
Yeah, I've got to make my choice because I wanted to play with my friend, and that's that.
Real quick about Gus's plan, though, I don't like it that much because it uses a lot of Joker logic where it only works if someone does exactly what you think they're going to do.
Yeah.
Because Jesse could have just been like, oh, fuck, shit, and just like cowered in the car. And then what were they going to do? Rob him anyway?
Yeah, I think they would just do a fake robbery and just see what would have happened. They're not going to actually kill Mike, obviously, but they're going to just...
Yeah.
I think he would have done a fake robbery and why wouldn't they? You know what I mean?
I guess Mike could have come out and rescued Jesse and then they'd be like, well, that was a bust, but all right, he still doesn't know it was fake.
Yeah. So then that's kind of... You're right. It's all wrapped up with a neat little bow.
Yeah, we get one little Jesse scene at the end, but we'll come back to that. It's with him and Walt.
So I know you've talked about the timeline on this show being very quick and funny, and it's almost like a day-to-day episode thing. He's like 2 days off of meth in this episode then, because I remember in two episodes, he's like only 4 days off of meth in Problem Dog. And he, in the next episode, he's like got the shakes when we first see him. So they like took him off a meth bender and put him on assignment with Mike. And that just seems like they were intentionally trying to clean him up almost.
Yeah. I think that's part of it too, is this is a way to keep him busy.
Yeah. So,
I don't want to say much more of that, because of my knowledge of next week's episode. So I will,
when I do that stuff where I think too much, is it a problem for you?
No, it's what I want. It's cool. It is cool when you, I mean, I guess on one hand, it's like, oh, it's cool when you call what's going to happen on the next episode. But then on the other hand, I'm like, oh, we are watching the episode right after. So it would make sense that you would know what's going to happen.
I suppose so.
Yeah, I don't know. I like it. I mean, I just am always like, I can't really say much.
Sure.
But let's talk about Walter.
I'm so excited to talk about at least one scene that happens here.
Is pretty cool.
Yeah.
But we gotta eat our vegetables before we get dessert.
Okay, yeah.
Walter, Walt and Skye buy a car wash.
Yeah. Well, he has to cook a big batch of meth on his own, and you can see him struggling with it. I kind of felt like he was being a baby, because it's like, you're always doing this shit in your hazmat suit, Walt. Why are you making it seem like it's such a much more tedious venture? Just because Jesse's not here, it seems like Jesse did a lot of the like blue collar work, and you did some of the more nuanced stuff. But then also, and then his like alarm clock goes off on his wristwatch, and he's got to like leave to go buy a car wash. And at first, I was like, not exactly sure what this transaction scene was, because a lot of these papers look like divorce papers, like with endless signatures. But I very quickly was set straight. So there's that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And then they're, sorry, I'm like totally by, oh yeah, Jesus. This lovely man who is the mortgage broker, a large man. I enjoyed him quite a bit. He's going to get his car washed soon, which I thought was a cute line.
Yeah.
And then they're going to celebrate with some wine, but then Skylar has to check her messages.
She hears the message we hear. In the next episode we hear, and the one he left earlier in the episode itself, where he says, I love you and the kids, and she like stares at him with a really indiscernible look on her face, and then guess what they do?
They fuck.
Oh my god. Right there on camera.
And like you kind of see like the actual like huh of it, which is delightful.
She was on top.
She was on
top. Have you ever seen it where a lady's been on top before?
Yeah, yeah. It's nice.
Oh, wow.
Oh, like in life or like personally?
In life.
Yeah, sure.
What? Mm-hmm. Wow. I never knew the lady could go on top before.
Oh, you've been a bottom only for your entire life?
I wouldn't say that.
Oh, okay.
I just didn't know other people had the thought.
Oh, so you thought about it, but thought it was your own dirty secret.
Yeah, I was like, that would be wild.
That'd be like, no way could I, a small town girl, be on top, is what you
Yeah, mean. And anytime I'd bring it up, anybody would go, that's too much. And I'd say, you're right, I can't do that.
Yeah, no, it was wild. It was, yeah, they were... And I did not see them put on a condom, which I thought was irresponsible.
Oh, yeah, we don't... If Skylar's still breastfeeding, it should be okay.
Will it? They cannot afford another child right now.
That's true.
Well, they can afford it monetarily.
But they could not, like, emotionally. It's just, they both don't have the bandwidth for another baby.
Uh-huh.
Very true. And it'd be Irish twins.
And also, we didn't see him finish, so there's a very real chance he pulled
Also, out. I don't know, maybe his chemotherapy made him sterile.
That's possible. Does that happen? I don't know.
I think yes.
Okay. So, yeah, maybe it's sterile, which is good.
Yeah.
Because then, you know, condoms. Don't hate to have them, hate to not have them.
Yeah.
But that's good. So that means he can raw dog. So good for you, Walt.
Yeah, good for him.
Such a fun term, raw dog.
Yeah. Man, this is
such
kind
a
of
dumb,
like
fun term.
This is like the scene that we've been waiting for 25 episodes. Mm-hmm. Just to see.
Meg has not seen a sex scene. There has not been one.
Yeah. Yet. And that's usually all I do is I skip forward to the sex scenes of everything I watch. And if there's no sex scene, I just don't watch the episode, mostly, no matter what I'm watching. So this was really exciting for me, for sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, like, there's been, like, barely any even, like, sexual innuendo. But this was full-on porking.
Yeah, no, like, they undressed each other and then got fed up and made themselves get undressed. So that was pretty exciting.
Yeah, they kind of did that thing with like the clothes on, just because like fuck it, just make an opening.
Yeah, I don't like that. Mm-hmm. I like it when people get all the way naked and they stand at each and stare at each other from a distance. That's pretty fun.
I like a little bit of clothes on.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's fun.
Okay, that's different.
Yeah.
I want to be completely naked all the time, so there's be no occasion where I would find it acceptable. And if somebody leaves their socks on, I scream at them until they take them off.
I don't mind. Yeah, I don't mind a little bit of clothes on or like a sexy outfit.
A sexy outfit.
But that's a little more that's a little more planned. Like, yeah, that's not for like a situation like this.
Yeah, no, this was just spur of the moment, good old fashioned, you know.
Yeah.
I hope my parents don't listen to this episode in particular.
I hope they do, and I hope mine do too. Because you know what? Everybody comes.
That's true. They do. Though I heard about... Never
well,
mind.
Some people don't.
Yeah, I heard about somebody that was born without a vagina, and she couldn't come.
Wow.
It was in a medical journal, so that's how you know I'm not making it up.
Wow. But she had like a uterus inside of that?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nuts. That sucks.
Yeah.
And no prostate to... work around back there.
Yeah, they don't have any prostates back there.
That sucks. I got that.
Yeah.
It's pretty sweet.
That sounds cool. Anyway, so besides that lady I read about in that medical journal, everybody else does come, though.
Yeah, I haven't really unpacked that prostate of mine, but, you know, someday I might use
it. I wish you, God bless, all the luck in the world, my friend.
Mm-hmm. but, yeah, most people come. Eddie Van Halen came a lot.
Pretty much.
This is a perfect episode to talk about him, which I was excited
about.
Yeah,
because he's sucked and fucked so much, yeah.
I feel like when they wrote this, they had the foresight to know, like, this one's for Eddie.
Yeah.
Even though this was written in 2011.
Yes.
They go, trust us, this will make
sense.
In
9 years, he's going to die, and there's going to be a whole thing that's going to come to pass. This was foretold in the scriptures. Like,
this was Ken Griffey Jr. holding his baseball bat to the outfield saying, this one's going to be a home run. There's some fucking baseball knowledge for you, assholes.
Yeah, good job bringing up baseball. Also, bunting. That's a thing that happens in baseball.
You do that when you psych them out.
Yeah, and you get the guy on first to second, like, you know? Mm-hmm. So,
because they're like, we expected him to hit it far.
Yeah, so we're really good at baseball. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
How many bases are there? Three.
But then there's the home plate. That's
home plate's like a special. That's like a bonus.
That's base. A bonus. That's that you don't count them in the bases. Yeah.
And pitchers are often poor hitters.
That's true too. Yeah. Sometimes they have pinch hitters for the pitchers, right?
I learned that from Ken Griffey Jr.'s Major League Baseball for the Nintendo 64. Mm. If your character was good at hitting, like your Barry Bonds, their circle was big. Mm. If they were bad, their circle was really small, so it was hard to get it around the ball. Anyway, sorry. Sometimes you get me talking about baseball. I won't shut up.
You're such a big baseball guy. Mm-hmm. You're a real
all my baseball
Sammy
friends
Sosa?
Say. I'm a real Sammy Sosa. They say, man, you're a baseballer, is what they call me.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense. You have a lot of male friends who would say that to you for sure. That's not, I don't know why I said it that way. You have a lot of male
friends. They slap my little butt with their mitts, their baseball mitts.
I remember one time I saw you storm a dugout and fight with the other team, just you alone. That was your brief stint as a professional baseball player. Yes.
Yeah. They stopped letting me play baseball after that, but I fucking won that battle.
Okay, so they have been fucking and have fucked, and now they're just...
It's a podcast about Breaking Bad. Let's go.
And now they're just seeping in the glow of each other's post-sex bliss.
Wonderful scripted pillow talk here. No notes. Wonderful.
I really felt like they enjoyed each other, and I was like, oh, look at this consensual sex between these two people who loved each other, and now they get to have this kind moment. But he seems a little distant towards the end of it, right?
She's like, you didn't notice my haircut. And he's like, oh, the sheets smell different, which is cute. So wait, actually, this is kind of big. This is the last time these two will ever have sex with one another.
Oh, fuck.
I think.
Yeah.
Unless, like, they just are, like, after this, it's just raw dog rally all the time.
So this is, that's wild, because this is the last time Walt's ever had sex.
Uh-huh. From this point on, he's a virgin, and that's how it works.
Do men have a hymen? Does it regrow? I know men don't have a hymen. I'm just kidding, but...
They might. You don't know.
That's true.
You don't speak for all
men. That's true. Oh, God.
I don't think we do. I do think that hymen, something only women have, is a word that can be pronounced hymen.
Welcome, hymen.
Hi, man. Welcome in.
Welcome in, men, to the uterus, to the cervical canal.
Hi, man. Okay, I'm done. what happens after they fuck? Because that was the kind of the end. Oh, Walt Jr. comes on.
Yes. Well, first they say, like, come to phone ladies, on the phone ladies' house. Hank wants to, we'll come out of bed. And then, Jr. comes in and he's like, I hope nobody's fucking in here.
Yeah, he does make a, ugh, mom and dad.
That's gross. To come in as an adult, like as almost a young adult, and know that your parents have just been boning has got to be really awkward. Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, I guess so. I personally hope all my parents, all four of them, have a healthy sex life. But I guess Walt Jr. has different priorities.
Yeah, I mean,
I guess he wants no one to fuck.
He's kind of a dick that way, I guess. He doesn't understand what it'll mean for him one day when he has kids who don't want him to fuck and how they're going to get in the way of everything.
Couldn't have said it better myself, Meg. And then Scott is like, oh my God, he's going to be so weird later. Oh, and they also talk about Walt potentially moving in. That is actually kind of important.
Yes, she brings it up and it's kind of like, yeah, you should move in. And this is weird because, like, when he actually does move in, it's with a different, like, she's, like, afraid of him moving back in. She's, like, scared.
Yeah, because that's after he's, like, set off a bomb in a retirement home, and she's the only one who knows he did it. And she's like, oh, this person's scary.
Yeah.
And that's her all of season five.
That's true. Yes, that's fair. So then, what happens? Guide me through this.
Oh, well, next is Walter's in like sweatpants and a t-shirt and he walks out and it just reeks of sex. And Walt Jr.'s like, hi, Dad. And he's like, hey, Junior, want me to pour you some juice? I often like the slice of life dialogue on this. Didn't care for that line.
Yeah, no, at no point would I ever do that with my children. Be like, do you want some juice, kiddo? you know.
It would be like, anything, want something to drink? It would not be like, would you like me to pour you some juice?
Yeah. I always just say that. Like, what do you want, chocolate milk? That feel like would be a more appropriate line.
But then the writer shows their hand because it was only to get a response from Walt Jr. where he's like, I drink coffee now, and I also tie my shoelaces.
So, dipshit.
We didn't care for that.
And then we see them drink coffee together, and he drinks it black, which I don't think any 15-year-old boy does.
I did at 15.
Did you really?
I said creamers for cowards.
Wow, you must have been a lot of fun at
parties.
I
never liked creamer that much, and I was not fun at parties. Thank you very much.
Well, you know those cream parties that people have where they just take
turns. Yeah, they're just putting all sorts of different creams in their coffees, and everyone's so awake at the end. The only thing important, I think, in this scene is just while Junior says, like, yeah, Mom says you're moving in on Tuesday.
And he goes, is that right? How about that?
Oh, he's like, oh, shit. And then Walt Jr. drinks out of a Beneke Incorporated mug, which is Ted's company.
So then what do you think is, like, his feeling here? Is he not liking that Skylar's taking control from him? Is that why he gets so, like, you know, distant?
Yeah, that's possibly why. Oh, Beneke Fabricators is what the company's called. Mm. Oh, mm. Weird. I think he's just kind of like, oh man, you hate to be reminded of your Eskimo bro right after.
Yeah. Okay, so you are confirming these two have fucked.
Oh, no, I'm not. But Walt thinks they did.
Oh, okay. That's different.
So I'm not confirming jack shit.
Seems like you just...
And I never will.
You just did. But okay.
I am confirming Walt thinks they fucked. I am not confirming they fucked. And you can take me to court.
How can I take you to court over your opinion?
Take me to court. Do it. I dare you. You won't do it.
All right. So beyond that, we've got...
Wait, real quick, because kind of peppered in throughout this whole episode is Walt trying to make meth by himself and failing.
Yes.
And that's kind of like peppered out throughout this whole thing. It's not even mentioned by this Wikipedia. And Tyrus comes down and helps him out. Not a whole lot of meat on that bone.
Yeah, he's just this kind of a sass ass to Walt, and Walt is just like a really like, meh, meh, meh.
He's like, it's a two-man job, and meh, meh, I'm not going to work until I have help. Is what he says.
And then they send down Tyrus. Yes.
Yep. And then later on, I don't think this is not the very end of the episode, but Walt goes down and Jesse's working, and he's like, you're back?
Jesse's a real petulant shit then, too, where he's like, yeah, I'm back. I have two jobs. Yeah,
maybe the least likable I've seen Jesse.
I don't know what happens directly before this, but it seems like they have had some fights, and it seems like Jesse feels like he's outgrowing Walt's, you know, guidance or supervision, and that is a problem.
Yeah, you kind of see the fruits of Gus's plan starting to take shape, because Jesse's like, yeah, I did backup, and guess what? Someone tried to rob us, and I fucking handled it. And then he puts on his ear pods, and he starts listening to a podcast.
And it's this podcast.
It's this podcast, yeah, which was very meta.
Yeah.
But we appreciated the download.
Thank you, Jesse. So
not Aaron Paul, Jesse. It's canon.
Yeah, it exists. I don't know where I was going with that bit, but thank you for yes-anding it. Now we go to, are we in the dinner party?
Yeah, I think the dinner's all that's left.
Okay.
Yeah,
I guess we kind of missed one scene earlier where somebody from Albuquerque PD is talking to Hank while he's in bed about the things they found at
you're absolutely
Gail's
right.
apartment. Yeah, and they're like, Gail, we think we caught your Heisenberg. And Gail's like, yeah, I bet you did.
Hank said this.
What did I say?
You said Gail said, you've mixed Hank and Gail up a few times, I think, on previous episodes.
I don't mean to.
But it's fun to call
out. I think I want to explain that I just have like tiny little nodes in my brain for names of people. And I know who I see in my mind when I'm talking, but if I don't really listen when I speak, it's a problem. And so things just come out. So Hank is talking about this investigation of Gail, who is now dead, with, you know, a detective or something. And the detective is like, we'll let you know anything else. And Hank's like, I think I'm all good. I think I'm all done. This is an, this is wrapped for me. Little does he know, though, that at the dinner party that we see at the end of the episode.
Wait, real quick. Yeah. Real quick. Sorry, back to that scene. Yeah, he's just kind of like, case closed. I've been hunting this guy for a while, blah, blah, blah. But what, he's wearing the best, like, shirt that they had to have made. Like, that can't have been just a shirt they found.
Yeah, no, somebody, absolutely, that was a fabricated prop, absolutely.
Yeah, they made a ratty t-shirt that said DEA Fun Run 2006 that they have to have sold that on, like, the Breaking Bad website.
Yeah, I mean, somebody's birthday is coming up. I don't know, maybe somebody will try to find that.
That would be fun. I would wear it. Man, oh boy. DEA Fun Run 2006. It was wonderful. It made me laugh.
Yeah, no, it looked like something shitty because the D, E, and A all had running legs on them. It seems like the perfect thing for, like, legitimately, it seems like the perfect thing to lend itself to, like, a Redbubble t-shirt or something, like, public thing. All right, so, anyhow, we are at the dinner party, and it's, you know, Hank is talking to everybody about Gail. Mm-hmm. What's his last name again?
Gail Bedeker.
And then, what's Ted's last name?
Beneke.
This is...
Oh, yeah, they are kind of similar.
Yeah, this is what...
I never thought about that.
So I keep getting... I think that's something I keep getting confused about, too. So Gail Bedeker, he postulated, was a genius. And I think Hank's just... I'm sorry. I think Walt's just having a really hard time fucking dealing with listening to this shit. So he gets wine drunk, which is, like, relatable. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't you? Mm-hmm. And as he comes back... There. Hank is like, yeah, this guy was just a genius. If only he had done something better. And you could tell it's just not sitting well with Walt. And Walt starts spouting off all drunk, like, I don't think that guy actually did everything. I've seen the notebooks. Mm-hmm. I think he's still out there. And that was just, like, not a lot of meat and potatoes on that statement alone. He had, like, one way to, like, justify his thought. And for some reason, that shook Hank, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of cool. Like, this is the thing that I think a lot of other shows wouldn't do, which is, like, they let the main character got away. Like, Hank, who's been on him, presumably he's been hunting this Heisenberg guy, who's his brother-in-law, and he thinks he got his man, and then he's just out of pure, I think the word you used was hubris.
Yes.
He's like, I doubt it. He wants to, Skyler said, like, did you want to be caught? In the next scene we see.
Yes.
In the last week's episode. Before we unpack this any further, though, on the phone, lady says some dumb fucking shit in, like, the dinner banter.
Yeah, I hate
it. Like, we can't go ignored.
I hate it when people start pitching you their shit ideas, and this is an example of on the phone lady and coming up with her shit ideas because she thinks she's so special. And she's like, you should, because they're talking about, you know, the finalization of buying the car wash. And on the phone lady has baby Holly in her hands, and she says, you should put Holly on the sign. And a smoking lady is like, as a mascot? And she goes, yeah, I would get my car washed every day. And I was like, the fuck you talking about? Like, babies are known for making things dirty, not clean. That's crazy.
Yeah, it'd be really off-putting to have a baby on your car wash.
Though. Yeah.
And then it's kind of like, even though the Teletubbies is a children's show,
sure,
it was off-putting that the sun had a baby on its face. Do you remember
that? Oh, I remember the fact that the sun was a baby's face that giggled and stuff.
Yeah, I get it selling baby food. That's the only context where it works.
Sure.
Or on a package for diapers. Yes. But as the sun or as a car wash mascot, no. It does not work on the phone lady.
So take your shit ideas and keep them to yourself. Mm-hmm. You're not that important. I think is what we...
Oh, and then we got... Yeah, and then we got some good old Uncle Hank where Walt Jr. is like, what about me? And he's like, we're trying to get customers, numbnuts, not drive them away. Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah, I mean...
He's
a real dick. I don't know what to say. Mm-hmm. He's just never had kids, you know?
He's never had kids, and he's a growing boy with self-esteem.
I just...
And he probably thinks, like, I don't like the way I look right now, privately.
I can't imagine that this 15-year-old boy is just thrilled with his parents being split up and now, like, secretly fucking and all this uncertainty mm-hmm. in his life. And then Uncle Hank here, your old, dependable Uncle Hank is like, fuggo or whatever. That's not
fair. Yeah. Hey, fun fact, you're fucking ugly, nephew.
Yeah. All right, well, fuck that shit, Uncle Hank. You don't need to be a dick. Yeah. But, you know, as I said, he very soon after this has his world rocked by a drunken man sitting at his dining room table. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right under his nose, the man he's been chasing.
Yeah.
And that,
okay, then the final scene, correct, is the next day, Hank has some files at the table, and we're supposed to kind of assume that he's out of bed for the first time in a while because on the phone lady who isn't Skylar but Marie is just so tickled pink to mm-hmm. see her husband up and at him that she offers to make him a pot of coffee, and he's like, I just wanted to look through these files. Oh, and then I've got this just general thought in my noodle that just came to me. This guy Gale, he was a vegan and grew his own food and didn't, you know, use vaccines or whatever. What is he doing at a fried chicken place or whatever? And that...
I feel like you coupling the idea of being vegan and the idea of growing your own food with also the idea of taking vaccines is what the anti-vaxxers want.
Okay, fair. Let's take it. Let's roll that back. Let's cut that out.
No, I mean, I'm keeping that in. That's very funny.
I was just being, you know, a little pedantic, but,
Yeah, he fucking eats tofu weird, wears a seatbelt. Why would anyone do that? Buys guns with a safety feature. Okay, puss. That was very funny.
And so he doesn't have, he wouldn't otherwise have this fried chicken napkin in his apartment. Mm-hmm. What's he doing with this? And then end of episode, which I can imagine if you were watching this in the correct order was probably been like a fucking mind blower. But he had already said this a couple times. Up to this point.
I think that was the next episode ends with Hank doing that whole little pitch where he talks about that napkin. He's like, this is actually a part number for like an air cleaning device that they used.
Yeah.
So yeah, pretty cool. Good shit.
Yeah.
Toss out a grade, I guess.
I want to be able to give this higher than a B+. I feel like by setting the precedent of giving things like Dead Freight an A, but at the same time, this isn't legally binding. There's no judge here. I can do what I want. I like seeing...
To quote you, you're an adult woman with agency. Yes. You can do whatever you
feel. I'm going to give this an A, and the reasons are as follows.
Whoa!
I like seeing Walt constantly unfooted for a whole episode. I love seeing sex. That's so fun. I was like, should try to do that sometime. That seemed great. I don't know that I was in love with seeing the wild romp around the Southwest with Jesse and Mike, but I didn't hate it at the mm-hmm. same time too. And I do enjoy Hank throughout this whole episode. So I'm going to go with an A. I like this one.
You enjoyed Hank. Oh, I thought we didn't like Uncle
Hank. I don't hate Uncle Hank. I think he's a pain in the ass to his nephew. But I think I have this weirdness about it. I don't like that he's a pain in the ass to his nephew, but I also never had an uncle like that and feel like I'm missing something. You know what I mean?
I've had a handful of uncles like that, and it's just kind of like,
eh. Oh, really?
Love them. Love them to pieces. But yeah, that were like, and I definitely, who knows? Maybe I'll be like that to my niece when she's grown.
I really hope that you don't tell her she's gonna scare people away with her looks. I think that just stay away from that.
Yeah. So I shouldn't greet her when she's 16 with like, ugh, what a face.
Oh boy, but I'm sure you got a nice personality, right? Something like this.
Hey, one word that'll help you learn science, which is fun because it's too well, all right, that's crazy. Yeah. Like I said, I'll probably start bringing this up in the Ringer's definitive ranking of all Breaking Bad episodes. This was 60th out of 62.
Well, I don't know what you want from me.
No, I loved it. I know this is That's 60 out of 62 watching it in the right order. That's why it's different.
That's true. I didn't mind this episode. I liked it. I think the things that are going to be if we're going to go with an A-, we'll go with an A-, I mean to say.
I think it's, I know, hold your A. They gave Bug a fucking, as number 61. Their thing isn't the Bible. You can do whatever you want.
I like Bug.
Yeah, Bug's great.
Okay, so then, is there any other business to wrap up before we bid our audience adieu?
I got an under five I'd like to talk about.
Oh, yes, of course, the under fives. Yes. How silly of me.
That's okay. I'm going to say we have 1.5 under fives, and here's one.
Okay.
The first one is, oh, by the way, Meg and I enjoyed A Fully Realized World, so every episode we like to shout out the people who are not the stars but have some lines and make this world of Albuquerque feel like actual Albuquerque. Anyway, the first I got is Rutherford Cravens, who plays the mortgage man.
Rutherford Cravens.
Yeah, wonderful.
I need
name.
To know
wonderful.
his work history immediately.
He's been working since 1986.
Okay.
And he was in a little movie called Get Out. Heard of
yes,
it?
Yes, I have. Who was he?
I assume he was in that big party scene. He just plays some person who I don't know.
Okay, checks out.
He's in that show Preacher. He's done some video game voiceover. Yeah, Rutherford, you're great. Oh, I think he might be on the top of my list to under fives who I would love to have on the podcast. It goes him, hot cancer guy, and then everyone else.
Yes.
Yeah, but his last role was in 2018. So, hey, Rutherford, get back out there.
We don't know what you're up to these days, but, you know, if you're not in production on something, please try to be, because get out there for those self-tapes, man.
Oh, wow. I missed, some of his biggest shit. He was in the movie Ray.
Whoa.
The Jamie Foxx movie? He was in RoboCop 2. Mm. And he was in No Country for Old Men.
So he's...
As gun store clerk. I remember him. He's he flips the coin and then he kills him.
No Country for Old Men.
Did you see that movie?
With the cow thing. Sorry. I don't know. I don't like to, I didn't, yeah. I've only seen a little bit of it. I don't like movies about people killing people. I don't know what to tell you.
I don't think you actually see this guy die on camera. Or it actually might be one of the ones where the bad guy flips the coin and it comes up like the good side. He's like, you're lucky today. And he leaves. And the guy's like, that was weird.
boy, oh boy.
And then, who the fuck was he in Ray? I never saw Ray, so I don't know what I'm fucking looking for. He was White Promoter. Ooh, that sounds...
Well, I think he probably got typecasted there.
Yeah. Okay. The last one is... Sorry, can you hear me? Internet's being weird.
I can hear you, yes.
Okay, yeah, I can't see you, though. Cool. The last one. So, the woman who plays the manager at Los Pollos Hermanos.
Yes.
She plays that manager in several other episodes of Breaking Bad.
Okay.
But I want to talk about her because those are her only credits.
So, she's only just, the manager at the... And that's it.
That's all she's ever been.
Okay.
So, that means, A, definitely a local hire. Yeah. And B... Probably at whatever fast food restaurant they just decked out to look like a different fast food restaurant. She probably just fucking works there, which I think is cool.
Okay.
Like to tell her friends.
Yeah, no, that's dope. Yeah.
Her name's Ashley Kajiki. And Ashley, let me tell you one thing. Get some headshots. Go out, move west. You got it.
You got it, Ashley, please.
We need more of you. You have not... Listen, you haven't acted since 2011, but that performance you gave...
It was wonderful.
Shook me.
You could definitely play a stern, authoritative type in many other roles, and you should do it.
Mm-hmm. And I think you could also play a vulnerable, bubbly type. I think you have that range.
You have a great range, and we're excited for you to take on this next part of your career.
Let me just say one thing before we sign off. What's your name?
Ashley.
Ashley. It was a crime against God that Zooey Deschanel was the star of New Girl and not you. You should have had that part. That should have been Ashley Kajiki. So get your ass to L.A. or New York and start hitting that pavement because you've got it.
Get out there, Ashley. Anyway. We believe in you. All right.
Rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast. if you haven't yet, if you listen and don't fucking review it, like, what are you doing?
Yeah, you should let us know how you feel, because if there's things you like or dislike, we can either add or subtract those things.
Give us 4 stars and say, here's how they could improve. We'll read
it. Yeah, we'll go, ooh, oh boy, and have to, you know, really reflect on ourselves.
And also follow us on all those social medias.
Breaking Bad
Pod. It's Breaking Backwards everywhere.
Except for Twitter, which is Breaking Bad Pod. Or Breaking Back Pod.
Yeah.
Yes.
Breaking Back Pod. Hard. It's a mouthful, but once you type it in there, you're
yes,
set.
Yes, you'll find it.
Until
next time.
Well, until next time.
A mighty fair Heisenberg to you.
Fair listeners.
Fair listener.
Goodbye.